I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is the Ultimate Sports Podcast.
And I'm Jake Robson. Here's what's coming up this week.
Lewis Hamilton set to move from McLaren to Mercedes, but is it the right move for the former world champion?
There are some monumental clashes ahead in the Premier League. We'll pick out the top games.
And England's cricketers have suffered yet another defeat at the World 2020. Can they dig themselves out of trouble? Well, of course, the 39th Ryder Cup is underway at the time of recording. We have no idea how it's going to turn out, but by the time you listen to us, some of the matches will have already been played. So all we can do is wish Team Europe good luck for this weekend. So we'll actually start with Formula One this week. Lewis Hamilton set to move from McLaren to Mercedes, and Jake Robson alongside me, not too impressed by that.
Well, not really, to be honest. I mean, you don't know how it's going to pan out. Just looking at it with the facts that we have them as they are, the fact is Lewis Hamilton, he's won a world championship with McLaren before. He did have a problem in the last race. He did, I think it was a gearbox issue that he had. So there's been problems this season with McLaren. But the fact is he moving to a better team? Has he got a better chance of winning the world championship at Mercedes than he does at McLaren? And personally, I don't think he does.
But long term, with the changes that are going to happen in the next few years as regards the makeup of the engines and the technical specifications, do Mercedes have the potential to move ahead of McLaren? And is Hamilton not betting on winning a championship now, but maybe in, say, 2 years' time?
Well, that's possibly what he's betting on. The fact is, can we say for sure whether they have the potential to better McLaren? We just don't know. Of course, it's a possibility. It's a big ask for a team that is essentially a new team in Formula One. McLaren have been there for, well, they've been probably one of the longest-serving teams after Ferrari in Formula One. It's just sort of having that winning mentality and sort of trying to come along and sort of take that off those other teams. I mean, it's doable. We saw it a couple of years ago with when Jenson Button was at Braun, as it was called then. But it's rare. It's a really rare feat for another team to come along and suddenly steal the thunder of the Ferraris and the McLarens of this world. And you know, with Ross Braun, there's a chance, and he's a really good technical director, and he knows exactly what he's doing. Personally, I think it's a bad move.
We'll move on to football and some huge games in the Premier League this weekend. None bigger than the game at the Emirates on Saturday lunchtime as Arsenal, who are currently unbeaten in the Premier League, take on Chelsea, who are also without a defeat in the league this season. This is a big early marker for one of these teams to put down, isn't it? Because Arsenal, I sense from some of the fans that I speak to on a regular basis that they're starting to be convinced again. There was a lot of dissatisfaction with Arsene Wenger towards the back end of last season. Obviously, Robin van Persie leaving made that even worse. But now fans are starting to think, do you know what? We look all right. And as for Chelsea, I think going forward, they look very dangerous indeed. Couple of issues defensively, maybe, from time to time. They squeezed past Stoke last week. These two are in decent form, aren't they?
Without a doubt, they're in decent form. It's going to be a great game. Obviously, at the Emirates, always a tough place for teams to go. As you say, Chelsea up front, just look, well, the potential there. I don't think they've quite reached their full potential this season. Obviously, it's early days. So they get my pick for this game. But yeah, as you say, Arsenal, you never know with Arsenal. They've started well, yes. I mean, every team in the season has a bit of a dip. I guess with Arsenal, it's just a case of how long that dip will go on for, when it comes, you know, those kind of things you've got to look at. I mean, I feel that they might be one or two injuries away from being almost half the team they are. They don't have the depth of, say, Chelsea, of, say, Man City, of even United.
Let's move on to Liverpool's trip to Norwich, because this is interesting simply because Liverpool are still looking for that first Premier League win. They played a very young side in midweek that won at West Brom very impressively. It's a tough one for Liverpool. I've said to anyone who'll listen this season, it is entirely conceivable that come January they could be outside the top 10. And it's important that Liverpool fans don't panic. It's important that the board don't panic. Because I think, in general, they're heading in the right direction. He's changing the way they play completely. And it will take time to bed in that new regime. What about Norwich, though? They've obviously started pretty modestly, it has to be said. They were one of my tips pre-season for relegation. I've seen nothing to change my mind. It doesn't look as though Chris Heaton's got enough quality there, does it?
You still get the feeling it's a bit on a sort of championship budget as well. And
yeah, he hasn't really got the tools to do the job there, maybe. Let's move on to the evening kickoff on Saturday. This is a mouthwatering one because Manchester United, who are doing well without playing brilliantly, are playing Spurs, who are doing well without playing brilliantly. AVB, the pressure is off him slightly because of the win at Reading and the home win against QPR, but I was at that QPR game and for an hour, Spurs were completely outplayed, so that's a bit of a worry. Obviously, they won 3-0 at Carlisle in midweek in the League Cup, but that's not really one to shout from the rooftops about. How do you see this one going?
The first thing you should look at is Spurs' record at Old Trafford.
Which is abysmal.
It's awful. I mean, I don't think that I have ever seen Spurs win at Old Trafford in the many years that I've been watching Tottenham. So, I mean, we're looking at 20 years plus since Tottenham have actually won at Old Trafford. And when you go to Old Trafford, you have to be able to keep the ball really well. You have to create chances. If you don't create chances, you're not going to score. And you don't get that many chances at Old Trafford, even though United defensively are a bit suspect, obviously, with Vidic now out. And
yeah, that's a problem for them, isn't it? Because Chris Smalling still isn't fully fit. I think there's a report come out today about the amount of injuries United have suffered over the past 3 years. And it's quite horrific reading. And defensively, at times, they've looked really fragile, haven't they? So maybe this is an opportunity for Spurs. We'll have to see. But just on one final note, this has got Robin van Persie hat-trick written all over against Spurs. I would worry about that if I was a Spurs fan. Let's finish our look at the Premier League games with Manchester City's trip to Fulham. I commentated on Fulham's game at Wigan last week, and I was hugely impressed, actually, with Fulham. Dimitar Berbatov at both ends of the pitch, very impressive, looked good going forward, but also at set pieces, was great defensively, was tracking back, was willing to put a shift in. And they looked very, very good in general, Fulham. They were disciplined in defence, two banks of four, very much the old Hodgson way of defending. And Martin Yol's been very, very inventive in the transfer market. They look very strong. Manchester City defensively, not great so far this season. 4-2 home defeat to Villa in midweek. And I think that was a shock for everyone, wasn't it?
Well, for sure. I mean, Villa as well, of all teams to lose to, they haven't managed to put a few results together for a long time now. And to beat Man City like that is a massive coup. Yeah, I mean, it's always difficult for teams going to Craven Cottage. Fulham have had some good results over the last few years against sort of Chelsea's, Manchester United, those kind of teams.
OK, we'll finish with cricket then today. England suffering yet another defeat at the World 2020 on Thursday, beaten by 15 runs by the West Indies, and this was as a result, batting-wise, of another poor start. They need to sort that out, don't they?
It was just so frustrating to watch. Alex Hales, by the way, played a fantastic innings, but quite frankly, not the kind of innings that is going to win you a 2020 game when you're chasing sort of 9 and over, or 8 or 9 and over. He hits the ball hard, but it was just always along the floor, to the boundaries, fielded by one of the West Indies players. He didn't clear the ropes enough, and that was ultimately the problem. Owen Morgan played fantastically well. I'm not sure why he came in after 10 overs at number 5. And also Joss Butler, I think he should be moved further up the order to give him a chance to influence the game.
Yeah, it's a tricky one because England have had this problem in limited overs cricket for a while now. The one-day team seem to have sorted it out, at least temporarily, because they used to have a problem where they were chasing a big total. They'd act as if it was a test match for the first few overs, and they never really got to grips with the power play for a long, long time. They seem to have sorted that out. I think Stuart Broad, the England captain, was really disappointed, actually, with the fact that they couldn't chase down 180. That's what they needed to beat the West Indies. But as you say, Alex Hales, a good innings and a really good partnership with Morgan, but they were left far too much to do. They were 0-2, I think, at the end of the first over. Craig Kiesewetter and Luke Wright had both gone. And it's so difficult to come back from that. And there were worries with the bowling as well. Samit Patel got carted all over the place on Thursday by the West Indies. So there are problems, but England can still get out of it. If they win their next two games against New Zealand and Sri Lanka, they can get out of it. And this happened when they won the tournament last time. They had a bad start, they recovered, they got some momentum and they came through. So they can still do it.
They can, but to beat Sri Lanka in Sri Lanka is going to be a tough ask.
Okay, well, that's it for this week. Whatever you choose to watch this weekend, be it the Ryder Cup, the Premier League, or indeed the World 2020, enjoy whatever you watch, and it's goodbye for now.